Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Let's Compare Notes. My name is Rahul Rao. I am your host yet again, and we are back with another episode. I apologize for the hiatus. I actually very recently started a 9-to-5 job, full-time, whatever you want to call it. It's all very new to me, but that has taken quite a lot of attention. But now that I've found myself in a much more comfortable routine, I should be having some more episodes out in the future on a perhaps more consistent schedule. And I thank you all for sticking with me through this, all these crazy changes, love changes, thug changes, friends become strangers. In any case, today we will be discussing the Hamilton mixtape. My guests, of course, being Cody Dale Edgar, back from his, I wouldn't say back, but on a summer vacation from teaching high school theater in Copperas Cove, Go Dogs. And yeah, Cody and I just kind of shoot the shit about this tape, mainly because there were people who had been listening to our previous episode where we talked about the Hamilton soundtrack and really, really enjoyed it and asked for a follow-up. Frankly, I was surprised that there was even a Hamilton mixtape out, but I suppose it makes sense. You got to make things marketable. And spoiler alert, I actually enjoyed this a little bit more than the original Hamilton soundtrack, though it still has its own set of flaws and stuff that I will get critical over. In any case, I mean, it's really all the intro we need. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy.
Okay. Cody Dale Edgar.
Hello!
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll just do this right now. Because why not? We get it. The energy's good. We're doing it.
We're starting.
We're sweaty.
Have you already done your dumb intro?
No, I haven't. Let's do that right now. Let's compare notes. Welcome back. This is another episode with a returning guest.
What?
Back from his sojourn teaching in Copernicus Cove.
Wrong. Absolutely not true.
Yeah. Who has finally decided the prodigal son. Back to visit us yet again, like in every one of these musicals. That gives you a hint that what we're kind of doing today, we are, we're going to be revisiting Hamilton again. Cody, it's so wonderful to see you.
It's good to see you, buddy. I'm excited to be back. I have been Copperas Cove.
Yeah, you have.
And I'm actually starting a musical. Our next play is a musical.
Awesome.
So we're in the mode for that.
What's it going to be?
Oh, we're doing Little Shop of Horrors.
Ooh, fun.
I know, it's a great one.
Someone gets to sing I'm a Mean Green Mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I didn't know you were familiar.
I am. I am aware of things.
Well, Raul, I think we talked about this last time, but you do not like musicals for the most part.
No, I do not.
Yeah.
Not particularly. So, this actually, the reason we are doing this episode is because
We want to.
There, during people's listening of episodes, a lot of people came up to me after the Hamilton episode a few months ago, and they were like, why haven't you done the Hamilton mixtape?
Which is crazy, because I wouldn't think people would, like, clamor for it.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, well, sure, I would. I am down to listen to it again. I will say right off the bat, probably enjoyed it more than I did the Hamilton musical soundtrack.
Which is crazy.
However,
that's crazy.
We'll talk about this, because I don't think this is a particularly good mixtape.
Should we tell them what a Hamilton mixtape entails? Because when I first heard about it, I was like, what is this going to be?
Yeah, that's definitely like one of the big selling points about it, is the fact that it is a not simply other artists performing songs of the musicals. This is also other artists like reinterpreting some of the songs from the musical.
And what's probably the most interesting to me was a lot of like extra stuff that got left out.
Yeah. There's demos.
Demos, and there's also just like songs that they were going to have in there that they had like really good artists come in and do instead, which is really cool. For me personally, I'm going to tell you right now.
For me personally,
yeah. The Hamilton, like, if you didn't listen to the last episode, I'm really up into Hamilton.
Yeah, hey.
That's kind of died down a little bit in me because of, you know, I've consumed so much of it. Like, we showed the, they had a PBS documentary on it that was really great.
Cool.
Which you might want to check out because it's really fun.
All right.
And it has, like, clips from the shows and stuff.
I'm into that.
And, I showed that to my kids for like a bunch of periods, so I watched it like a million times. I've heard like all the kids are just obsessed with it. We went to a conference, a thespian festival in Dallas, and they put on, like, before a show started, they put on Alexander Hamilton, the song, and, like, everyone started singing it. Like, every single kid knew all the words, and I was actually, like, kind of upset. Like, it was, like, kind of shitty.
Wow. Just, hey, well, I mean, yo, it's, like, the most popular shit right now.
Well, actually, not anymore. It's moved on to another musical that I'm much more up on right now.
What is the new musical?
Dear Evan Hansen.
I do not even know what that is.
Yeah, it won a bunch of Tonys. It won Best Musical.
Well, I'll check it out. You tell me about it after
check
this.
It out. Okay. Check it out. Dear Evan Hansen. Ben Platt's amazing.
Maybe there's a Dear Evan Hansen episode.
The guys who did Rent did it.
Okay, that's pretty big.
Pretty
big
high praise.
Yeah.
High praise. Guys, welcome back. Let's compare notes.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that. Your host, Cody Dillon.
That's right, me. Okay. Hello.
Today, we will essentially be talking about the Hamilton mixtape, and I don't think it's going to be, I don't really think it's going to be, like, the way that the show is normally done, where we, like, talk about our feelings, because now we both have, like, a history with this album.
What do you mean, talking about our feelings? I want to talk about feelings.
We're going to talk about our feelings regarding each track, but, like, at this point, listeners who haven't listened to the previous episode, you should listen to the previous episode, but listeners, I think, know, up until this point, like, how you and I both feel about Hamilton.
Sure, in general, what our thoughts are, but I'm interested to see what songs from this...
The mixtape
you liked or didn't like or whatnot.
So,
if you didn't know, by the way, this is all executive produced by The Roots, who also produced the actual Hamilton CD we listened to last time, which is the Hamilton like cast recording.
Yep.
They produced and did all the music on that.
Mm-hmm. They've been super influential in this, which I like. I can't deny, because there are any song that has like The Roots on it, it's in some form or fashion, it's usually a song that I ended up liking on this mixtape.
There's like four songs on this that have The Roots like actually like listed as a featured artist.
And then all the rest of them are probably produced by, I'm sure, mastered by them.
Yes.
So, okay, we'll just go ahead and start it.
Woo!
Woo-woo! No John Trumbull intro, straight up Roots intro, which is great. Like, this is honestly kind of, don't break anything. That intro kind of was selling me on this a little bit harder.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because I was like, okay, this is way more condensed of, like, a summary of, like, what this is about that I'm going to get.
So John Trumbull was a painter who painted the famous Declaration of Independence signing.
Yeah.
Basically, this track is saying that all those elegant, lovely paintings you see are bullshit.
Yeah, it's fake, man. Like, these are all facades that the Founding Fathers hid behind, and they're all, like, super flawed people. And, like, I got behind that way hard. That was cool.
Yeah. Which is a definite theme of the musical, whether you like it or not.
Showing. I mean, that is like by far a big part of the musical. I'll say another thing that I really liked about this: way shorter and easier to listen to.
It's like a four. Oh, this mixtape.
Yeah,
this mixtape. It's not 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I listened to it. I re-listened to it on the way over here.
Yeah, right? Like, you can start to finish on, like,
an hour and 14 minutes.
So yeah, it's really
pretty,
not that
pretty
bad.
Pretty easy. And a lot more, I mean, like, if you're not easy into listening to musicals, if you don't like the structure. For me, for a long time I tried not to listen to recordings of musicals until I had seen the musical, just because I was kind of a purist that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then once, you know, you get like, because when I was younger, my mom used to take me to a lot of musicals. Like, I saw Wicked with the original Broadway cast, and I saw like Lion King 4 or 5 times. But now I don't have those opportunities anymore because I work and I don't have money.
Yeah.
So it's cool to be able to, like, I don't know, I like to listen to like the structure of the musical, and kind of like, sometimes I'll read the Wikipedia article while I listen to a musical, so I know like the story while I
look at photos or something.
Yeah, which is fun. But this is a lot more accessible for people that just want to hear some good tunes.
Yeah, if you want to hear good tunes but still, like, want to get sort of all of the major points of the musical, this is probably... I feel like if I had listened to this, I may have been more inclined to listen to, like, the musical afterwards. Okay, so... My Shot is like the opening track here. I mean, of course it is, because like that was the biggest fucking thing in that musical.
Yes.
We use the same chorus from the original part of musical. However, one of the other things that I liked about this mixtape is the fact that they will have other artists come on and like try to do a different interpretation of the song or, like, add a verse to it. Yes. So my shot in the context of Hamilton, right, is about Alexander Hamilton, like, taking his chance and, like, being kind of an opportunist and making sure that he can fulfill his legacy, which ends up being his undoing.
Whoa!
But making sure that he won't, like, squander any opportunity that he has to, like, put himself in a position of power.
Right, and a lot of these themes, and he wrote it this way, I think that's why it was easy to make this mixtape and get people inspired by it, is because he made the musical to be very similar to an up-and-coming rapper, the way Hamilton was. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a shot, he's not going to throw it away. The next song we're going to hear is very much easy for people to jump on. The themes that he talks about, he can go up to like someone like Busta Rhymes, who's awesome on this song.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Rhymes kills.
Busta Rhymes is good on it, like anything he's on, though. He's always the best part of whatever he does. Or, you know, like Black Thought or somebody like that, and just go, hey, can you write about seizing an opportunity?
Yeah.
It's not like any rapper could be like, oh, there's nothing I have in my life that's relevant to that. It's like, no, fuck you. There's like, obviously, there's.
Yeah.
Like,
they know what they're doing. So, like, this one also has, let's see. Nate Russ and Joel Ortiz.
Nate Russ, by the way, before we did the Hamilton musical, you were asking friends what, you know, albums they would have been. I remember I pitched you, or before I pitched you Hamilton, I pitched you doing Some Nights by Fun, which is his band.
Yeah.
Because I love that album.
Yes. So, like, lead singer of Fun is on here. And so another thing that I did in listening to this album is I listened to the audio commentary by Lin-Manuel. One of the things he said during... Oh, my God. There's a lot of... we'll talk about him. One of the things he said in this commentary on the track was like, you know, I just... When I thought of, like, soaring voices, voices that soar and glide like the wind, I only thought of Nate Russ of Fun. And, like, he is our generation's Freddie Mercury. And I was like, ooh, that's a hefty claim, but I see where he's coming from.
He does have a very soaring voice.
I get that. Like, I get that. And there's a reason, like, he was chosen to be the lead singer of a band called Fun. Because, like, his voice is just fucking... It's power. It's positive. Like, it's... I get it. Like, I get why he was used here. There are probably... This is something I'm kind of going to be critical of, or rather that I didn't enjoy, was that there are some artists that I don't think should have sang the songs that they did.
Really?
Yeah. We'll get to it.
This one, Black Thought starts it off, and he does awesome. I thought, I told you before, mugshot, gunshot, dope shot, jump shot, take your pick, but you only get one shot.
One shot.
It's pretty good in terms of, like, how are you going to get out of, what are you going to do with your life?
Absolutely.
Mugshots to jump shots. If you're a black youth, that's kind of a, you know, thing in rap a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You can either be a rapper or a, like, for, like, harder areas, you know what I mean? They say you can only get out with a jump shot or a gunshot. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually a lyric that's been used before by Black Thought.
Sure.
But I even role models tell us we're born to be felons. That's some good stuff.
Shouts out to Cody for using Rap Genius right now.
I am using Rap Genius to remember I know the lyrics because I am not as because with Hamilton I know all the lyrics, but this I do not.
So next up, Wrote My Way Out. Again, using a using sort of the chorus or perhaps even like a refrain, just like a lyric that is said.
It's just a lyric. It's not even a chorus.
Yeah.
He just says, I wrote my way out.
He wrote his way out. So, again, in a very good, I think in a good position, Lin-Manuel Miranda chooses some, like, very good specific people to rap on this track. Of course, Nas. Like, Nas is fucking,
he's Nas.
Picked up the pen. Just like Hamilton.
That's what he's, so that's the only thing, like, when you think of, like, a Hamilton mixtape, you think of exactly that track, you know what I mean? Like, exactly that line.
Yeah.
Like, a bunch of rappers going, like, I was young and ambitious, like Hamilton!
Like Hamilton.
Like, here's a bunch of different things. And also Hamilton!
And also Hamilton. And that's...
I led the charge! George Washington!
George Washington!
Like, it's just like... Yeah. So his very first line is, I picked up the pen like Hamilton, and you're like, ugh. For me, I was. And then he goes, street analyst, now I write words to try to channel him.
Yeah.
No political power, just lyrical power, sitting on a crate on a corner, sipping for hours, scheming on a come-up. That's the thing that's great about it.
No, it's fucking solid bars. Like, I liked this track quite a bit.
Yeah. Aloe Black on the chorus is great.
Aloe Black on the chorus is fantastic.
He's awesome.
Lin-Manuel puts in a 16 here.
It's good! It is good!
Okay.
What?
Wait for it by Usher.
No, hey, no, we're going back.
Oh, okay.
Lin-Manuel's bars.
No, okay. That is not Lin-Manuel's bars. That is not what... So, my theory on the Hamilton mixtape is that Lin-Manuel had always secretly just wanted to make a rap album where he was on it. But
he did! It's called Hamilton the Musical!
He did, and it's called Hamilton the Musical, right? But he wanted to make a rap album with features... And, like, he wanted to make a traditional mixtape. Hence why we not only have the uses of demos, but we also have the uses of just, like, chill ambient beat interludes, which are awesome. I love those.
Yes.
We also have moments of, like, remixes, where not only do we have the song, but then at the end of it, we also have another version of the song as well.
Yes.
Right?
So you gotta know that a lot of the stuff he does is going to be a little corny, because...
Oh, no, okay.
Lin-Manuel is corny. But he says some stuff on here that's fun.
No, and okay.
He said, and there's some references to his other musicals on that.
That's all.
If you didn't know, he says, I know Abuela's never really going to win the lottery, so it's up to me to draw blood with this pen, hit an artery. Abuela in the lottery.
That's from In the Heights.
That's from In the Heights. Yeah. So she was trying to win the lottery.
No, like, I get it. Like, I get it, but.
I sound lame, but at the same time, it's fun for me.
No, and I'm not just saying that.
But shine a light when it's gray out. I wrote my way out.
Well, because, okay, I don't mind. I actually don't mind his the fact that he wanted to do that. And in a way, he fulfilled it. Because I think that's cool. What fucks it up for me is ultimately the thing that I needed the most in order to just, like, get my head around, like, some of these musical elements, which is the audio commentary. Because listening to him... fucking
talk about himself,
talk about his songs artistically, it's a fucking, he says the word flip and the word script more times than I've ever fucking heard someone say. Okay,
well, I mean, it's, I get what you're saying.
This is, we have to keep going on these tracks. Wait for it, Usher.
Okay, this is probably the one that, okay, so, like, he released a few songs at a time when this came out.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the one that he waited until the album to release. And I was so fucking pumped for it. Usher was a huge part of my childhood.
Yeah, Usher's the man.
I loved Usher. He biffs it. I think he does awful on
this
song. Yeah,
this is not...
It's so uninspired. And the guy who... And, like, the thing about these are, you should either do it better than the original person or in a different way.
Yeah.
And on songs we're going to get to, like Dear Theodosia, they do it in a different way that's really good.
Yeah.
And on this song, he does it less.
Yeah.
Leslie Odom Jr., who sings the song, dude, other thing, fucking nails this song.
I have never, like, it was a weird position for me, because there are a few tracks for me that are like this, where I'm like, I'd rather listen to the version on the Hamilton soundtrack.
It's way better, and I remember, like, showing, I have one of my girls who loves this album, and who, like, Corey, she, like, as soon as it turned out she was in Hamilton, she's like,
One of my kids.
She told me, like, oh my god, I choreographed a dance to Wait For It, and, like, she wanted to show me, and all this different stuff, and I'm like, and when this came out, I was with her, and I went, hey, listen to this, and she looked like someone had just, like, mauled her kitten.
She looked
like someone had just stepped on her dreams, because you hear Usher, and this huge, powerful Wait For It song. And he literally, like, doesn't climb on any of the fucking, like, huge refrains. Like, Leslie Odom Jr. has so much, like, fucking emotional impact in his voice.
Yeah.
That Usher usually has in a lot of songs. And this wasn't Burn. This wasn't fucking, nope. All those, like, fucking sweeping songs he has.
Belters.
No, this is awful. I think he half-assed it. And it's hard to watch. It's hard to listen to him.
Cash the check. Whatever. Get the pub. It's all good.
I was pissed off.
Yeah, I did not care for this one much either. No. An Open Letter. The interlude. That is great. That's pretty sweet. Watsky fucking kills it.
It's
just in terms of, like, rapping fast. Because... I'm sad to say that David Diggs was not on here, which, like, makes me mad.
It's well written. Yes.
He's the only rapper who was, like, co-signed to, like, help fucking write this thing.
Sure.
And the only person who...
Well, he didn't write it.
I mean...
He performed
in it, but, like, I'm sure he had some amount of influence on, like, you know, way things were, like, said.
Sure, because of his, his abilities.
Yeah.
I think this is something that was going to be in the musical as well.
Yeah.
This is going to be another little part of the musical. I think it's well written. I don't care for Watsky very much on it. I think his voice is a little weird.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of, I don't know.
it's a lot. For those that don't know, it's a letter to John Adams about how he's fucking up his administration, and it ends with "Sit down, John, you fat motherfucker," which is fun.
Which is a lot of fun.
To be completely transparent, we're taping this on July 4th, and I listened to this on July 4th, and it was fun to listen to these kind of like American songs.
Yeah, very like pro-American. Like
yes. The next one is awesome.
Satisfied?
Yes.
Okay, so
Queen Latifah
fucking destroys. She's great. Like, she is so great, but I always knew she was great. So the next song, of course, is Satisfied.
In the musical, this is when
Angelica
sees that Eliza and Hamilton are getting together, and she's basically saying that she'll never be satisfied because she always is looking for the next big thing.
Yeah.
And somebody that can match her wits, and she didn't think Hamilton could, and then he definitely could, but just was playing it cool.
Yeah.
And now she's like, God, you'll never be satisfied. And it comes back later because he'll never be satisfied.
Yep.
It's musicals.
There's musicals.
I think Sia's awesome.
It's like poetry, it rhymes.
It is like poetry, it rhymes. Jar Jar's the key to all of it.
Yeah. She's the funniest character we've ever had.
I think Sia is awesome on it.
Yeah, she's great.
I think she has crazy, huge things. So Sia, Miguel, and Queen Latifah is a dope ass lineup.
It's a nice little combo on a track. This is, again, one of the tracks that I really enjoyed just because it's like not simply a recitation of the words. Though in Sia's case, she is definitely, like, fucking going to just, like...
She's going huge verbatim
with the script, but like, making it her own, like...
But yeah, that's the thing about it, is that that's something that Usher didn't do that I wish he would have done, is
that
this is a song that is all the lyrics just from the musical. Miguel is replacing Lin-Manuel, and Lin-Manuel, I think we talked about this last time, too. It's hard to remember exactly what I said, but he is not a singer... At all.
No, he's not.
And the thing about him is that his guy who replaced him, the person that replaced Javier Munoz, who replaced him, is a much better singer. Like, crazy, crazy, crazy better singer. But it's Lin-Manuel. It's his words.
Yeah.
He's a good actor, and he's also just a good, like, he's a good vessel for the story.
Yeah.
He can emote, and these are the words he wrote. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you want to see the guy who did that, but he's not a good singer. So when Miguel comes on and sings his part on this, it's awesome, because it's, like, a lot more soulful. And
for
like,
sure.
Like, cool sounding. And then Queen Latifah just spits it awesome.
Yeah, spits those bars. It's great. Satisfied is a good moment on here.
Great.
Audio commentary fucked it up because Lynn was like, Sia, what she did, and what, it was just crazy. So, like, there was one example of the script being flipped when she was like, I want to do my own interpretation of the song, and we were like, oh, wow, go for it. And then there was another moment when we just, like, didn't hear from her for a while, and then she comes back to us, and she sends us this thing, and it's like, she not only flipped the script, but flipped it again.
Double flip, so it's right side up now.
It's right side up now, but like that in a different way.
That's hilarious.
I mean, it's basically just like what he says with a lot of these tracks.
Just flip the script.
Oh god, dude, scripts were flipped.
Flip
script flops.
I love
bro.
The guy. I love him. He has his shortcomings. I think he's like. It's funny because Jimmy Fallon is on this, and he's basically Jimmy Fallon if he wrote musicals. And the fact that he's so excited, and like everyone is his favorite person of all time.
He just has a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. I love him. I love this track. The next track.
Dear Theodosia, Regina Spektor and Ben Folds. Theodosia smoking on that Doja.
Dear Theodosia, when I was re-listening to this, there's another version of this song
on the album
that for me is superior.
Okay,
but I listened to this version and on the second way through, and I was like, oh, I'm not gonna like it as much, but I'll give it a second listen. I loved it again. Yeah. Her voice is amazing. It's
Virginia
so Spector
was a good choice on this one for sure.
Really good choice. This is a song from Aaron Burr to his daughter, and from Lin-Manuel to his from Alexander Hamilton to his son. He's basically him now.
Yeah.
But it's lovely. It's heartfelt. Her voice is perfect for it. It's so like bedtime story-esque. Nice,
yeah, it's great.
Soothing.
It works. Her and Ben Folds do some cool harmonies.
Yes,
Ben Folds cool.
Great.
Yeah, I like both of them. Good choice for this one.
You haven't hated a song yet there, buddy.
Here, hold on.
By this time, you had definitely hated a song on the other album.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, because I'm fucking... this album is moving at a much quicker pace.
Yes.
And, like, everything's composed in a way that is at least more of, like, a song. There aren't just moments that end in silence and, like, heavy breathing.
Well, it's a musical!
Yeah, get out! I don't give a fuck. So, next up is Valley Forge, the Valley Forge demo. I do not care for this much. Not because, like...
This is a demo just by Lin-Manuel. And
yeah, I don't give a shit.
I feel like... The thing with the demos is that, so this is kind of similar to a part in the musical, and it has the same structure, but now it's a little bit more in-depth about the Battle of Valley Forge and the experiences there. Like, some of these, like, I've never seen the general more despondent. Like, that's, like, exactly from the musical. But it gets a little bit more in-depth. My thing with these demos, and it's great that they're demos, but it's Lin-Manuel playing all the parts.
Yeah.
And I really wish he would have brought some, like, big name in to play George Washington on this, or, like, even brought back Christopher Jackson, who played George Washington, who has an awesome voice. But instead, it's just him, and I think that kind of brings it down a little bit. But at the same time, it's cool to see his writing process, because they're all really well written.
Yeah. It's him starting off. I'm just like, I do not... Yeah, one of the big reasons I don't like it is, of course, Lin-Manuel doing both voices. Another reason I just don't like it is, like, I understand that you're coming from the aesthetic of, like, a mixtape, but there's no reason that you couldn't have, like, better produced that at the very least, or, like, I don't know, maybe just put it on a different beat, or maybe, fuck, like, put it in a different way, just put it in a different, like, context in the album. Instead, you're kind of just giving me, like, this is the raw, unfiltered, cool shit.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I get it. It's
like
a mixtape.
I do like that.
It's fine.
But
like,
at the same time, you're right. I wish, like, especially later when he does a third cabinet battle, it would have been great to have David Diggs.
Yeah, that would have been Jefferson. Fucking awesome. And like, it's just Lin doing the voices. I do like that, to kind of skip ahead to that cabinet battle where he alters his voice through, like, voice
that
modulation.
Cool.
That's cool. That's a cool little effect.
He doesn't really do it here, but...
to be fair, it's weird that you mentioned that specific aspect of, like, him playing both parts, because that's actually the problem that I have with the next song. It's Quiet Uptown. Kelly Clarkson.
Fuck you.
I'm sorry, dude.
This was my... top three song whenever this came out.
Really
love this version.
I do not care for it.
I think she does awesome, especially at the end when she belts. It's so good.
Yeah.
I feel like Kelly Clarkson is an overlooked voice.
She's a great singer, but like,
somebody else to do it.
No. I don't mind that Kelly Clarkson did it. It's just that whenever she did not switch her, like, cadence or voice or anything when switching between characters. And I would have liked to see something way more dynamic.
I feel like she had a deeper register a little bit when she did Hamilton.
Not really. Like,
not crazy. She was like, no, I don't deserve you.
Like, she was,
like a little bit lower.
It was just a little lower, but it wasn't like a dramatic change.
So this is the song. This is the tearjerker song of the musical.
My tears were not jerked in this movie.
It's better in the musical, but I think this version is a really, really good example of it. But it is just Kelly Clarkson. And, like, even, like, if you listen to the musical version, what's haunting about it is it's a bunch of different voices because it's the chorus, right?
Yeah.
So, like, when the chorus comes in this one, it's, like, a background of Kelly Clarkson in a lower, you know, if you see us in the street. It's quiet uptown.
Yeah.
And, like, it's good. Like, I don't know. I love it, though. It's a really good... I love her, though.
Okay.
I think she's great. I think Since You've Been Gone is the top 10 songs of the knots.
Okay.
Since You've Been Gone is a great song.
Okay.
Can you put that as the outro to this podcast? Can you just throw Since You've Been Gone out?
Ask Ned to do it.
Since You've Been Gone! All right, they have enough.
Yeah. Ned, if you could edit that, please.
He ain't listening.
Oh, that's true. Next song. That Would Be Enough by Alicia Keys. I like that more than I like Kelly Clarkson's song.
Absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. Alicia's an usher for me on this. She didn't go into it. She has this weird singing voice in this that's not her singing voice. So, it's like this higher, weirder register.
I will say,
there's no soul in it.
See, I will say that, like, everything kind of leading up to the end of the song is kind of...
the end is good, you're right.
The end really builds up strong, and that is, like, powerful crooning, and I'm fucking... Yeah.
It is, but at the start, it's... She sings like for Alicia Soulful to me. Alicia to me is like this, like keep, you know. And instead on this, she's like, look around.
Yeah,
like, it's like this very high register for her, and I'm like, why is she doing that?
I mean,
and I love her. There's a song on the new DJ Khaled album we were talking about before that is trash, except for Alicia Keys.
Except for Alicia
she's
Keys,
so good on it.
But
and I love
one,
her, but and my friends know. I'm a big fan. All right, here we come to the big one.
Yo, Immigrants.
We get the job done.
This is a track that I like because, again, you have a bunch of different rappers on here. We got Residente, who is apparently Lin-Manuel Miranda's cousin.
Wow, he does a good job.
Who is also, according to Lin-Manuel Miranda, is like the most famous rapper in all Latin American countries.
What?
Yeah, he was like, if you go anywhere in Latin America and you ask, do you know Residente? They'll be like, hell yeah. And but then you ask here and they're like, no, I don't even know who that is.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so it's like, yeah, your cousin is like a world famous rapper. Why didn't you get him to be on the mixtape? And I was
he's
like,
good.
Huh. Oh, yeah, he's great.
He's not Spanish, but it's good.
No, yeah.
I can't, it's sometimes inaccessible for me, to be honest.
No, it's just the way that you said that and the fact that it's July 4th.
It's fucking Spanish, but okay, yeah, it's, America.
It's in Spanish, I just, whatever.
No, it's like Despacito for me.
Yeah,
I can't.
It's like Despacito.
Despacito.
Despicable Doritos.
Despicable me Doritos. I like this a lot. They just put out a video for it. When it came out, it was during the Muslim ban. I thought this was a really good.
It's a positive thing.
They have a repeated lyric that's America's Ghostwriters. I think that's a really good little comparison right there. America's Ghostwriters. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
America's
fascination with the Marvel character Ghost Rider.
Yeah, it's America's Ghost Rider. Pee and fire.
Yeah.
This next one.
Oh yeah, okay, you'll be back. I prefer the one on the Hamilton.
Of course you do.
Because like that one's way more fun. But Jimmy Fallon's fine. The intro
Jimmy
part
Fallon sings You'll Be Back with the Roots. The intro's dumb as
the
shit.
The intro's really dumb and I kinda enjoyed that. I was hoping that would the entire song would be. Yeah. That would be really great.
He pretends to take breaths. He goes like you say he's like, I've been taught a very good
breathing technique. Yeah,
yeah. I've been classically trained by my voice coach John Classically.
John Classically or Classicality.
Yeah, Classicality. He's good. Here's the thing. I like Jimmy Fallon. I've liked him since everyone used to hate him.
He can sing.
He can sing. He's actually like very good impressionist. He's very funny on some of those SNL things. People think of him as just laughing, but if you go back, he's got some really good hits on there.
Mm.
He shouldn't have done the Trump thing. But I think that was a sour note for a lot of people, including myself. But at the same time,
whatever.
I like that boy Jimmy. And he does good on this.
Yeah, it's Jimmy Fallon. He does fine. It's whatever. I don't have any particular strong feelings about this.
The actual track on the musical you should listen to because that was your favorite.
Yeah, any part with George Washington on the musical
King
was
George.
Great. King George Washington.
No.
Carver.
How dare you on the fourth. Day of our country.
On the fourth day
that our country was alive.
That our country even existed.
This next one's my favorite on the album.
Oh, Helpless?
Yes.
Man, okay.
So good.
Ashanti.
And Ja Rule! It's the team! They're back!
They're back,
and they kill it.
Yo, they do great. This is straight up like fucking... Lin was already inspired by like hood romance anthems. This is just taking it back to that. Also, I'm so glad Ja has this out because he's gonna need this money to
after
pay for
Fire
that Fire Festival. Oh man,
dude, this track is the best song they could have sung together,
yep.
And the best two people he could have possibly got on this track.
It's a
perfect. The beat they have on it sounds like an Ashanti, like Ashanti Ja Rule tracks were my childhood as well.
Yeah, those
were the shit. Every time they did something together, What's Love, I'm Real was J-Lo.
Yeah, but
there was like another couple of songs they did together, and this one was like so fucking fun.
This was good.
Ja Rule sounds awesome on it.
Perfect. This was literally the perfect pairing of people that they could have had on this.
Yeah, and they're singing about it's a love song between Eliza and Hamilton, and it's so fucking good. And Ashanti, Ja Rule, we miss you both dearly.
Hey, Ja, you need to pick better things to invest your money into.
Definitely. But also, give us some more. Like, I never want to hear a Ja Rule album again, but feature on some stuff.
Get some single work.
Get a nice Chance the Rapper Ja Rule song. I listen to that.
Cash that $20K. You need it.
We need it. We need it for the culture.
Take a Break, another instrumental. Pretty good.
It's fine.
And it's not particularly great. On this commentary, Lin-Manuel is like, you know, Illmind is one of, like, the greatest beat makers of all time, and he was so inspired by this album that he kept just like flipping it and making
and he took too many scripts. I had a script for my new movie, and Mary Poppins Returns, so on my desk, and he flipped it over and he ruined it. I was like, stop flipping the script.
And he just ended up coming out with like all these other tracks, and it was just like, we need to put this on there. This is just a banger.
Yeah. I wouldn't call any of these songs bangers, except for one, and we'll get to it later.
Yeah, we'll get to it right now. Say Yes to This is literally, this is number one. Number one with a bullet. Say Yes to This is the, I will fight anyone who disagrees. This is objectively the best song.
It is awesome. On this album. I love it. Every time I listen to it, it's so good. Yeah. Jill Scott is a fucking legend.
She is fucking great.
Her voice is incredible.
Not only does Jill Scott take this fucking, and this is probably the only audio commentary by Lin-Manuel that I was like, this makes the most sense that Jill Scott would do this, because he was like, we asked Jill to do it and we didn't have an idea of what she would want to do, and we told her this song, Say No to This. So she listened to it, and apparently they were all, like, done with the album. Pretty much done. They were, like, finalizing everything, and then she sends them this track. And it's like, yeah, like, the way he describes it is completely 100% accurate. She literally flips the script on this one. Because she takes the original track,
it's from Hamilton's point of view,
trying to, like, essentially make a affair that he's had look better.
It's also the story of the affair, where it's him going, I how am I supposed to say no to this? His wife's gone, he's lonely, and Mariah Reynolds comes up to him and asks to, for an affair, and he's supposed to say no. And this, Jill Scott sings from Mariah Reynolds.
Yeah, and the way she makes it sound is like, this is definitely way more accurate to have probably how it happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. He was definitely way less hesitant to do
something. Oh, yeah. She's basically saying, you're going to say yes to this.
Yeah.
Instead of like, how...
Yeah. How are you going to say no? That's inconceivable.
Yes.
Inconceivable.
I'm Jill fucking Scott. She murders it.
Dude, she fucking makes this track so sexy and funky.
Oh, yes.
And like...
it's awesome.
Yeah. I can take or leave the rest of this album, but if you just give me this Jill Scott single as like a single, it's not even, we could even say like, she's just using like the chorus from Hamilton, and like that's all she's doing, and instead, fucking boop, this is just like a Jill Scott song. That's probably why I think this is the best song, because it's not even like
too related.
Yeah, it's tangentially related to like the song from Hamilton, but in reality it is Jill Scott going out of her way to, like, make this her own.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That is, like, it's a sign of her creativity.
It's the anti-Usher. It's her taking complete ownership of this track.
It's not simply,
and
like,
it sounds weird, but it's, like, this confidence that I feel like a lot of the people that are of this don't necessarily have, like, that are trying really hard. She doesn't seem like she's trying at all. She seems like it's, like, natural to her, and this is her song.
Yeah, for sure.
It's
like,
awesome.
That's the thing. And I mean, all of the lyrics are essentially hers. She wrote all those lyrics for this song. So it's like, there's no reason this couldn't go on like a Jill Scott album and like it not be great even on that.
She's a legend.
Yeah. Fantastic. Number one. Everything else, I'll dump it in the trash.
No.
I would, because
it's not number one.
Kind of from after say yes to this, I am sort of done with this
no.
album. Yes, because I don't really care. Tabernet Battle 3 is blah, blah, blah,
well, let's get
cool.
to it.
Okay.
Because next up we have a good song.
Congratulations by Dessa.
As Angelica.
As Angelica.
Talking about after the affair comes out.
And, yeah.
She does awesome. She's great.
She's fine.
She's great.
She's fine. Like, she's fine. I could have just listened to...
A lot
to
of anger in that voice.
Could have just listened
stuff.
To Angelica Schuyler, the girl who played
Well,
there.
Of course she would have done better. She's incredible. But yeah. It's a mixtape, and you can't...
Yeah, yeah.
And then again, if they would have put her on the track and she would have sang it, I would have loved that. Mm-hmm. If they would have got her back.
Ooh, yeah, get a little double feat.
That would have been great.
Which is like another... Also, the same reason why I kind of don't like the next track, Burn.
I don't like Burn.
Yeah, that...
She doesn't do it nearly as good.
This version of Burn is not even close to like...
The
Hamilton version of Burn.
It's so good.
Those ladies in that cast recording are like...
Well, that was what you said, too. You, that was your
yeah.
favorite part was those ladies.
Favorite part is those ladies in that fucking recording.
They were incredible.
They kill it.
Philippa Sue, her version of Burn is, like, so sad and, like,
yeah.
fucking, like, you really step into a world of torment. Mm-hmm. And on this, you're just kind of like, oh, it seems like she's kind of PO'd.
This is this is kind of just, like... White girl angry.
This is white girl angry. That was Asian girl angry.
Yeah.
So it's more angry.
Yeah, more angry. Tiger angry.
Jesus. Tiger style.
Stay Alive, the interlude.
Yeah,
yeah man.
Leave it.
Just another beat weird thing on here.
Yeah. Let's get to it. Cabinet Battle 3. So in Hamilton, they have two cabinet battles, which are the way... That they show cabinet battles like through a rap battle style.
Yeah,
like, this is a version where and a big part of people's problem with Hamilton and a thing that he talks about a lot. I'm sure he talked about it in the commentary a little bit.
Yeah.
Is the exclusion of slavery almost completely from the narrative?
Yeah,
they don't show it, and it's and I think he didn't think that it needed to be in the story he was telling.
Yeah.
They do mention like ending slavery and freeing the slaves, but there's
yeah.
no like characters that are slaves.
Yeah.
And they reference Sally Hemings in this. That's a pretty awesome burn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's well structured. It's definitely the weakest if you look at those other two cabinet battles.
Yep.
This one is way weaker. Those other ones had a lot more the Ten Dual Commandments is like an awesome way to preface
yeah.
this whole thing. This one's a little bit less structured and a lot less fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's talking about slavery. Hamilton proposes that they and like they talk about ending slavery
yeah.
when they've already signed a thing saying that they weren't going to talk about it until the 19th century rolls around.
Yep.
It's very well written. It's just not as inspired, I don't think, as those other two, and it's not as fully fleshed out.
Yeah.
And that might be because Hamilton plays all the parts, because
yep.
Lin-Manuel plays all the parts. It's not as fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's that, and then there's also, like, I don't know, the way that they talk about it, I guess, is fine, but it's not particularly, like, poignant or meaningful in any specific way.
It doesn't open up your eyes to any new
yeah.
things. It's stuff you all know.
I think the other cabinet battles fulfill a better narrative function than this one.
Yes.
And this one's just, like...
This one, well, the thing about why he said in the interviews is this would have... In order to make a point and to be, like, you know, politically correct, it would have just stopped the narrative dead in its tracks.
Yeah.
Because Hamilton's life was not very much about slavery.
That's what he said in the audio commentary track.
Yeah.
So whatever.
So,
there we
go.
Next
Let's
song.
Go! He got the Washington's bios. People all up in my face. I'm Wiz Khalifa.
It must be nice. It must be nice to have in Washington by yours.
So, it just for the listener, in the musical, Madison, Jefferson, and Burr sing a song about how it must be really nice for Hamilton to always have the ear of Washington. Because Washington
yeah.
loved Hamilton, did anything he said.
Yep.
And it's basically them plotting on how to overthrow him. And it's an awesome song. This is a song about... Wiz Khalifa making money,
smoking dope,
and it's Wiz Khalifa saying people are saying to him, it must be nice to have those Washingtons
by your
side.
That's kind of
all those $1 bills.
All those $1 bills.
It's clever, and it's like I think the beat's fun. And I think his cadence on it is fun,
but nothing.
But
on
the lyrical
yeah.
content is shit.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of just fun to listen to be honest.
It's fine. It is like he raps even in that weird Migos triplet thing.
People are up in my face.
People are up in my face. Hit him with the Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
he just raps like that and it's like okay, and then I get it must be nice to have the Washingtons on your side. It's fine. It's a fine little thing, but if that's your hook, you need to make it short because you're gonna. It is easy to fucking get me real burnt off on like that idea.
Burnt off, haha, weed. But it also has nothing to do with the rest of the album. It's just like he just found that thing and he's like smelling like smoke on the plane. I'm like, well, I thought we were talking about Hamilton.
So what? there are a lot of tracks that don't talk about Hamilton on here.
That's true.
But
at least have stuff that's relevant.
Yeah,
Nothing about this song is relevant to Hamilton.
So another weird thing. So on the audio commentary, Lin-Manuel.
I'd be interested to hear what he said about that one. Oh, that's definitely it's tangentially the weakest by length.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it has nothing to do.
Okay, so here's what I think it is. I think it's just because. So when he talks about it, he's like, yeah, Wiz Khalifa came to the show. He went backstage. He hung out with everyone. He was just really, really nice.
I'm sure he's nice.
And then he was like, hey, we talked about the mixtape. And then he was like, hey, let me do something for that mixtape. And we were just like, okay. And he was like,
okay, Wiz.
Okay, Wiz, what did you have in mind? And he was like, Washington's by your side. And we were just all like, I don't know what that means.
And then he turned in this piece of shit, and then, we went, okay.
And then he sent us this, and I was just like, this is really great, you know? This is really, like, an artist taking something and turning it into, like, a personal story. He's really flipping it, you know? He's just flipping
it. It's not even personal. He's just talking about the same things he always talks about.
Yeah, no, but the script that he's talking about with him, it's flipped.
It's totally flipped. He flipped that script.
Flipped that script. Script flops.
It's script flops. He took my script from Moana. He flipped it upside down. I couldn't see it anymore.
Yeah, dude.
How am I supposed to write Moana? We should do Moana next time. So good.
Okay.
So
good. I don't know about all that.
he did the music, if you didn't know.
I believe it. okay.
Or we should do an episode where you and me go to see Mary Poppins Returns together. Which he plays new Bert.
Maybe we can shrink the binge or something.
Crossover with my podcast. How do I shrink the binge? Tuesdays.
Shrink the binge. Tuesdays. Ooh, boo, boo, boo. Okay. History has its eyes on you. Featuring, oh my god, so this was a cringeworthy moment in the audio commentary. Lin-Manuel is like, you know, John Legend, that's what he is.
Oh god, he's a John, he pimps out whores.
Yeah,
that's just
I was just like, fuck off and die already.
But this song is so good. It's sweeping, it's huge, it's like lovely.
I do not like John Legend on this. Really? I do not like John Legend on this.
It's like it's basically like a country twangy version of the song. This is another one that's hard because this song on the album is really great.
On this original cast recording,
yes,
yeah.
Christopher Jackson is great, but I feel like this version is so different. With the history.
Has its Okay, so
it's so good.
The way that he sings it. I just can't get behind John Legend's voice. If it had been like fucking Anthony Hamilton or something, man, that probably would have been great for me. I would have really liked fucking man. I think Usher probably would have done better on this track.
No, he would have made it pop. This is way
no.
He does
if
it
you
is soulful.
if you made him do it like in this way, like kept it in that beat, I think he could probably put more into it.
I feel like John killed it. I feel like it's like really soulful, and like when he gets low, tells your story. It's like really like it felt like you could sit out on a patio and listen to this with your grandpa and know his
friend Peppy,
and you could know his fucking story.
Yeah,
with your pep.
With my pepper.
My step pepper.
With my little step pepper. Okay, so technically the final track.
No!
Well, I mean,
because we got the best track of the album.
I would consider that last track to be, like, the bonus track of the mixtape, because he's going for the mixtape idea. But okay, Who Tells Your Story, featuring Common and Ingrid Michaelson. I like this track,
and
Common.
Black Thought and The Roots.
Common's good. Common does great. I've always thought he's a
really
good
rapper. Common does really good.
The Roots are great on instruments. Ingrid Michaelson's little, like, vocal
shit. It's great. Yeah. Real good.
Awesome.
Real, real good.
But, I mean, there's not much to say about it. It's just like, who tells your story, dog? I mean, I do, if I believe in myself.
Yeah.
Which was the point of the original one, too, so, like, whatever.
Well, it's also, well, I mean, the whole, the point of the original one was Hamilton, for years, in our society, was thought of as just the guy on the money.
Just the guy on the money.
And maybe he did something with banks, and literally, they were going to take his face off the $10 bill.
Yeah.
And the musical stopped them from doing that because people went, oh, this guy has a legacy. Mm-hmm. And it basically is who tells your story, because nobody told his story. And that's pretty shitty.
Yep.
And so the thing that they're trying to say is, yeah, you need to tell your own story or else who the hell is going to?
Yeah, you can't. We don't all get Lin-Manuel to tell our stories hundreds of years later.
That's right. That's right.
We can only dream of that.
I mean, I hope they make a Raul the musical.
Yeah, whatever.
What would that entail?
It wouldn't be fun.
It'd be fun.
It wouldn't be fun for
It'd be like,
one.
Yeah, cut off your sleeves.
Yo, yeah, okay.
Bleach your hair a little bit.
that wouldn't be a musical. That'd be more like an August Osage County play.
Osage.
Whatever. Someone.
Just a family debacle?
Yeah, just a bunch of people molesting each other and
Jesus.
Dying.
No. Raul, who have you molested and killed?
I molested my father.
Whoa.
No.
That'd be a good musical.
Yeah, it'd be great.
History.
Yeah, also, yeah, in the genre.
Who tells your story, raped father?
In the fucking, of course, in the History Has Its Eyes on You song, John Legend goes, proclaims, my son!
He does?
Yeah, it's either in this one, or it's in one of these ones where, like, there's a guy who's just like, my son! I have a son!
What?
It's either that or it's the one with, like,
I think it might be Dear Theodosia, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's the reprise.
Yeah, because it's Chance the Rapper.
Yes, Chance the Rapper.
Yes.
Screaming out, I have a son!
Well, it's about his son.
Yeah.
It's about his daughter.
It's about his daughter.
Who oh, the
son.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's because it's about Hamilton. So,
it's about Hamilton. Yep, final track, Dear Theodosia.
Reprised by Chance and Francis and the Lights,
Who are awesome.
He's awesome. This song, when I first heard it, nearly made me cry.
Wow.
It did.
Wowzers.
This song is, like, so meaningful to him, and you can tell it. And he said that when he first saw it. He said he cried when he watched the musical when he first heard Dear Theodosia. Because it's about wanting the best for your kids and wanting them to grow up better than you had it, which is obviously a big thing for fathers.
Yep.
Especially people like Chance who maybe didn't come up in the best circumstances.
Yep. And now he's a young father himself.
Yes. He's crazy young, and he has a daughter, and he wants the best for her. And I think the way he sings this, it's like so like low and gravelly.
And like raspy and
lovely. It's
kind of annoying.
No,
I do not like his particular voice on this.
No, Francis is so good on it. Like that electric vibe on it is so good.
Yeah, I like the instrumental a lot. I just could have. I don't know. It was fine. I like the Regina Spektor one.
But that one's supposed to be like happy and like hopeful, and this one's more like soulful, low, and like haunting almost. But like in this lovely way.
But, like, it's weird that he would choose to be on the song, or he would choose to reprise the section of the song where, like, children die, or have died, so...
What do you mean?
Don't they sing the reprise, like, after Philippe is dead, and then after...
They don't sing Dear Theodosia again. No. That's just it's a reprise of the song.
Ah, I see. That's what that means.
Yeah,
I learned a musical term.
A reprise.
Today. A reprise.
And it's just so well done, man. I think that he is so like, I felt him on this song.
Mm.
That's my thing about this album is that there's people that seem like they just want to get on the madness. And there's people that seem like this musical touched them, and that's the reason why I can say, like, okay, Wiz Khalifa, that's fine. Because he watched the musical, he went, that spoke to me.
Yeah.
It spoke to me in a dumbass way, but I heard it.
But I heard it.
And he's like, here's me. And so, like, because this musical is a combination of what I like is the, like, like, when I first heard the musical, what I was most excited to hear was all the, you know, because I was a completionist at that point with this. It was all the, you know, like, the lost footage, all the, like, you know, like the lost tracks that didn't get to get put in. And that's all fun. But when you got these, you know, like, covers, you gotta be soulful with it. You gotta have it mean something to you. And that's why I can deal with the gravelly aspect of it, because I feel like it meant that much to him that he couldn't sing it like Regina Spektor, who's like, "Dear Theodosia, how are you today?"
She definitely didn't do that.
She did. It's poppy and huge.
She definitely was not fucking slapping her knees.
She was. That's why, like, and so that's what spoke to me on this. That John Legend seemed like that meant something to him.
Okay.
That's why, like, I feel like the Common and the Nas verses work, is because it's like, that's real to them. That's why the Immigrant Song is so good, because it's them singing about all the pressure they feel in a society, in a country, that is ripping apart at the seams based on what put it seems together, which is fucking immigrants. Yeah. And so, like, I feel like that's...
America!
F you!
I'm sorry. Just, it's the 4th of July still, and we're having, like, very... This is, I think those are important. And
so I guess I guess my thing is, and it's the same way with theater. Fuck off. You can want to be a part of the fun, right? I tell my kids this. I'm not even kidding. I said this yesterday to somebody, to my brother, actually, because I was telling him, like, kind of my philosophy. In high school, a lot of kids are just looking for a place to be, right? You're looking for a clique. And when I first got my job at this theater program, there's a bunch of people... A bunch of kids that were like, I'm a theater kid. I'm like, all right, here's a monologue. They're like, oh, I don't like acting. And I'm like, oh, well, here's some tech stuff. Well, I don't like tech either. So do you like theater? No, not really. I'm just looking for a home. That's the difference in this musical. Do you like Hamilton? No, not really. I'm just looking to get on this madness. That's what it feels like some of these people are.
Yeah.
And then there's these other kids that, one, want a home, but two, are there to work, have a passion for theater, and most importantly, want to get better. On this album, there are people that are like, here's a track I care a lot about, I want to make it better, and I want to add something to this narrative rather than just be a part of it for my own gain.
Yeah.
I didn't think Chance the Rapper ever thought, oh, I'll jump on this track because it'll make me hotter.
No, yeah,
he didn't need to do that.
He did it because it was a passion project.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah. And that's why, and that's the thing with the Jill Scott one. She was just like, here you go, I did this in my own time. Because the song spoke to me.
Yeah, it meant something.
Yeah, and that's what I think is the difference. I can respect you on this mixtape, all these famous people. Here's how you get Cody Edgar's respect.
Yeah, hey, you want it?
You want my respect? Want to be a part of something and also want to contribute something because it means something to you, not just because you want to get, you want to ride the wave.
Yeah, ride them coattails.
Don't let the Lin-Manuels ride your wave. Nope.
Nope.
No way. No.
No way. I mean, I suppose that really kind of sums it up, man. I am kind of in agreement with you for the most part. Again, there are definitely some things. There are lots of tracks that I...
What's your top three tracks on this
board? Top three tracks? I'll give you... Ooh, fuck.
So I'll give you mine.
I'm going to give you... All right. Number one with a bullet. We already talked about it. Jill Scott, Say Yes to Anything.
Number one with a bullet. Sugar, we're going down.
Yeah. Jill Scott, Say Yes to Anything. Probably... Wrote My Way Out.
Okay.
Pretty good. I will probably also say... I don't really know, because those are really, like, the only two that I would listen to again.
What? Jeepers. All right, here's my five.
Oh, whoa, no.
Yes.
You get three, because I'm going to name one more, and it's going to have to be the Regina Spektor, Dear Theodosia. It's fine. Wow. I like it. You only get three.
I'm going to say five.
Okay.
Dear Theodosia Reprise.
Okay.
Washington's Buyers. No, I'm kidding. Dear Theodosia Reprise, Say Yes to This. Helpless with Ja Rule Ashanti track.
Okay.
Quiet Uptown, Kelly Clarkson is on there for me. And then it's a hard one for that fifth spot, but I'm going to give it to... History Has Its Eyes on You.
John okay. Legend. I'm going to replace the Dear Theodosia. I'm going to replace that with the Helpless.
Yeah, give it to Ja. Agreement.
Give it to Ja.
We got two of ours on there. We did it, Raul. Guys, this has been Let's Go.
Oh, fuck, hold on. No, hell no. Don't you end my show for me, Cody. Because right. It's July fucking 4th and it's
freedom.
Freedom, 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 oi!
If there was anybody, I asked my kids this, Raul, if there's anybody that they could write a historical musical on, who would you want them to write a historical musical about? Anybody in history? You're a well-learned man.
Anyone in history that your kids could write a historical musical?
No, that you could. If you wanted to write a historical musical, who would you write it about? Or who should they write it about? Who should be the next
big
historical?
And
also, what music should be it? So Hamilton was rap.
Okay.
Some of my kids said Hitler punk.
No, definitely not.
MIT jazz.
So it's riding on that Hamilton thing. Like, true. No. Let's do a weird, like, creepy musical about Michael Ehrlich, the party monster guy.
Who's that?
He's
some kind of fucking last podcast.
No. He is a
bullshit.
He was a club promoter in New York who like helped promote a bunch of raves and then killed a guy and went to prison, and I think he's dead or overdosed.
That could be kind of cool.
But like an essentially like an electronic techno musical kind of. Because, like, a lot of stuff happens in the club, a lot of stuff happens in the dance floor. Shit, you could probably take Party Monster, the movie starring Macaulay Culkin.
Is that who that's about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know about that.
So, if you've seen that movie, just kind of take that movie. That would be a cool musical, I think.
That would be a cool musical. It could be kind of like Heathers. It's a little bit, sinister, but fun.
Yeah. I suppose if Heathers is that is.
Heathers the musical based on the movie?
Yeah. Okay. I will check it out.
You played the game, Raul, and you won.
Ah, sweet. What did I win? I won. Cody Dale Edgar, thanking you for being on my show, thanks, young man.
Fun as always.
Yeah, of course. You are in town for a little while. We perhaps might see you in skins outside.
We've been doing some outside skin stuff around to look for different stuff for us. You can check on either me or Ned's Facebook or... anything else?
And then, of course, the big ballin' big ass podcast, big ballin' podcast, Honey, I Shrunk the Binge.
That's right. Honey, I Shrunk the Binge is my podcast with Ned Gale. We've had a lot of listens recently, and we're really excited about it, and we're doing bigger, better things. And look for the future, where we have a Raul Rao guested appearance where we are going to be dissecting Naruto.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about anime, maybe.
And I'm really excited about that. Please go subscribe to us.
Rate us on iTunes
so we can get some new and noteworthy looks. Yeah. And that's Honey, I Shrunk the Binge.
And with the 5 stars.
iTunes, Stitcher.
Yeah.
And all those dumb ones. Like us on Facebook, Instagrams, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Raul, thanks for having me.
Yeah,
buddy.
No problem.
Go
Dokes.
I love this podcast. I love talking shop with you.
Talking shop.
Any topic.
Yeah, of course. You can also catch me on the Mockingbird Network, not on iTunes. Working on it. Also check out Neo Benchy every month. I perform in that every month. That's also right. Check out. Oh, this is cool. I haven't recorded a podcast since this happened. I released a book
for
podcast listeners. Hooray! Woo! It's called It Doesn't Have a Name Yet. It's a book of poetry. I'm getting some reprinted. Soon I'll have an online link for it. Until then, you can just, if you see me, talk to me, and I'll tell you about it. I have a copy on me that I can show you what's
going on. Send an email to the Mockingbird Network. I'll get it to them.
Yeah. Send an email to the Mockingbird Network, and they will probably talk to me. I don't know. We'll see. Love you, Brenda. I mean, you know, listen. Yeah. Now I'm about to make this real fucking awkward on the end of this podcast. So let's not do that.
Cody Dallegger.
Yeah, that's it. That's been this episode of Hamilton. Oh, well, of course, let's finish this off with a final approval. Cody, would you give this your binge award? Binge it.
Oh, the go ahead and binge it.
Go ahead and binge it.
I would say go ahead and binge it. You can't shrink this binge. If you do, you'll hear an intro and one of the best songs, but there's so many good nuggets in there. I definitely have re-listened to it a bunch. It was fun revisiting it because I had been away from it for a while. If you are new to the Hamilton craze and you want something that satiates that hunger and takes it in, I think, objectively fun and interesting new ways on a lot of it, please check it out. Apparently, there's a volume 2 coming out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And maybe we'll be back.
Cool. All right. Yeah, awesome.
All right, everybody. This has been Let's Compare Notes. Go fuck yourselves. My name's Raul.
Oh, whoa. Hey, I didn't say that. I'll also say binge. I guess I will recommend the Hamilton mixtape.
Yay.
I'll give it the Rahul Rao recommendation. Rahul Rao.
Triple R.
Yeah, you already know. I will say fuck with it. I mean, you're not gonna catch too many re-listens of this in my Spotify.
Sure.
But you might see a few occasionally. And you might see you might see Say Yes to This in a fucking sexy playlist. Ooh. Ladies, I'm talking to you.
Wow.
Maybe I'm talking to you. I don't know. We'll see if I like you enough.
Ladies. Let's get to fucking. Goodbye.
And that was another episode of Let's Compare Notes. Want to thank Cody yet again. Gonna miss you all school year, but hopefully you'll be back to hang out, do some more outside skin shows. And of course, you can check in with Cody because Honey, I Shrunk the Binge is uploading and releasing on a consistent schedule. I think those boys have even figured out how to Skype some things now, so maybe we'll start getting binges more frequently. Though, to be fair, they're already very consistent about it, so yeah. And of course, as for me, you can catch me at all comedy things now. I do have an Instagram account. I kind of started it in order to promote myself a little bit more. I guess I'm an adult. It is at Coyote Bloodbath, CoyoteBloodbath. Coyote Bloodbath. Yeah, it's an old PlayStation username that no one has ever taken because it's two words that no one ever puts together, and it's cool, I guess. I don't know. It's hardcore. It's edgy. And I don't know. I suppose I'm a little hardcore and edgy myself. But yeah, go ahead and check me out on there. And of course, you can always find episodes on Stitcher of Let's Compare Notes. And if you want to go directly to the source, you can go to letscomparenotesblog.wordpress.com, which is where I kind of like host everything and put all the episodes up in their initial format. Hopefully I'll be getting onto iTunes soon. I've come to realize that iTunes has some problems with me calling myself a music podcast, even though I don't necessarily have music on the podcast. I don't play any recordings. That's a whole thing. Copyright issues, the algorithm that determines that is all very strange. In any case, I'm going to try to work out those kinks. But until then, I will see you guys soon, and I appreciate your support. Bye.